All right, here we go. We're rolling. Good week.
Yeah, it is.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the podcast.
Is that the intro?
I don't know. I'm just talking
it's
right now.
It's better than what I did.
No, it's not. Nope. So good to have you guys with us today. So, yes, so glad is. Everybody could be joining us from our online community. And good to see you guys as well today.
Yeah, it is good to see y'all.
Yeah, very good.
Yep, and
I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Nothing.
They're looking at me like
everybody
I'm
have a good weekend.
Everybody
had a good weekend. Good week. Everything going well for everybody? You guys doing okay?
Up until now.
Up until now.
Doing well.
Right. Yeah. You doing okay?
Same.
Yeah. Doing well.
Yeah. I'm doing
Matt,
well.
You doing well.
Doing good.
All right.
How about you, Greg? How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Thank you. All right. I appreciate you asking. I wasn't here this weekend. We got away for a couple of days. Danielle's birthday, and so got out of town for a little bit, but we're back, and I did get a chance to hear message on Thursday night. Matt did a great job preaching.
He did.
So really thankful for. Why are you waving at me?
I was saying it was a little iffy.
Oh, it was
especially
a little
Thursday
iffy.
Night.
Okay. Well, no, it was good. It was good. It was strong. Good job. And heard everything went well Sunday as well. So great job to Matt Karst.
Yes.
Thanks.
Great word, Matt. This is like the worst intro we've ever done.
Well, typically you do the intro, but I don't really know what was going on. So.
Next week, folks, I'll be back doing the intro again.
We tried some things. It's not working out.
We tried.
We're going to go back to Andy doing the intro.
We didn't talk about this before we started. That's
carry it away, guys.
Anybody still here?
Crickets.
Matt did a fantastic job. Blind Bartimaeus, that was so good, Matt. People loved it as well. I got so many good comments of people leaving and just talking about how great the message was, impacted me. Blind Bartimaeus.
Our good friend Bart. It was good.
Good friend Bart.
It hit me this week, too. So for me, when I get to preach and it actually hits me in some way, that helps a little bit.
It surely does.
But it was good. Just really looking at, I feel like, his life in a little bit of a different perspective than maybe we tend to just go, there was a miracle. Next thing, what was Jesus up to next? So to just pause and really look at that was good for me, at least.
Yeah, yeah. I loved how you got into the Bartimaeus herd. Talk to us about that a little bit.
Yeah.
You can read right over that.
Yeah, it's really easy. I feel like this story, there's a lot of those moments of it. It'd be really easy to just kind of read straight through and not really lean into, okay, what really happened? And I think I said it at some point in one of the services, like sometimes it's easy to think there's filler words in there. But as you read the Bible more and more, you start to realize there's not filler words. There's some intention for this. And so just that word, when you read over it, blind Bartimaeus, right? We know he's blind, but then he heard, like he heard, and he leaned into that. And I don't know that that was something that he leaned into all the time, but Jesus is passing by. He's like, okay, I can hear, I can shout. I'm going to do what I have the ability to do and not just sit here in my, what I consider brokenness. So to me, that spoke a lot.
Yeah.
Just to, I guess, his character and his courage to just say, I'm going to take this chance, this risk. And let's see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved your point. Don't let what you don't have, don't let what you don't have keep you from, Jesus has for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was so good. So many times we can focus on what I don't have. And I sat there it was in the 9 a.m. or the first service, whenever that, 8:45 now. Yeah.
In the morning.
Yeah, I don't do well with remembering service times. I don't have to. The 8:45. I sat there and thought, you know, you mentioned how it'd be a great thing every day to just thank God for what you do have. I thought to myself, you know, gratitude, I want to be better at that. I really feel like I would be healthier, I would be a better Christian, a better husband, father, all that, if I did stop and take time for what I have. We're so concerned with what we don't have and what we're trying to get every day.
Yeah, and it's easy to see what other people have.
Yeah.
And not really just
very easy today.
This is what I've got.
Yeah.
You know, this is what he's given me.
Uh-huh.
Which, you know, I think I said it, but just that's really the deeper question is, how am I really using what I've got?
Uh-huh.
Or am I just so worried about what I don't have that I'm not using what I have? And so that hit me this week of like, okay, And I've tried every service to make sure I said, this is not me saying that I am doing this.
Right. You said that well, yeah.
How powerful would it really be to start in that mm-hmm. place? So I've been trying for the last couple of days to start in that place.
That's good. That's good.
Well, you know, it's really easy for us to, you know, when you start talking about gratitude, to begin to list off the, you know, the things that you're supposed to be grateful for, mm-hmm. right? It was late last year I was challenged to do a gratitude journal mm-hmm. where it was every day for an entire month where you sit down and you write out things that you're grateful for. And I'll be honest with you, first week of it, first 7 days of it, it's pretty easy, man. Thankful for my family, thankful mm-hmm. for my job, you know, thankful yeah. for, I mean, I was able to get it. But I mean, as you got into day 13 and 14, you were really having to spend some time thinking about what is that I'm actually thankful for. And the truth of the matter is that, man, there were so many things that I had that I could be thankful for, but I just don't spend any time thinking about it oftentimes.
Right. Yeah, it almost just feels like, yeah, this is what everybody's got this.
Right.
But especially if you look at where we're at in the world. And I mean, we are so blessed. I mean, even the people who are not considered well off right here in our area are still blessed beyond measure. Not to say we shouldn't come alongside people and help them as they're not doing well. But I mean, we're doing so great just to even be where we're at in the world. And I think we just have grown accustomed to that.
We surely have. Yeah. Best way to figure that out is go to a third world country mm-hmm. for about a month. And first time I ever went to a third world country, I spent about a month away. And I'll never forget what it felt like when I came back. Mm-hmm. It's like, man, everything's here. I can do anything. I can eat anything. Everything mm-hmm. is so readily available. And it made me so grateful mm-hmm. and made me realize how we need to thank God for what we do have. That's so good.
Yeah. Well, and it's crazy when you go to those places – and you experience, at least in my experience, on some of the missions trips, the people there almost seem more grateful for what they have.
Yeah.
And those that are following Jesus there, they follow him so much more closely, which is maybe jumping to the, kind of the end of where I was preaching, but just this idea of like sometimes we let all of the things, you know, I kind of refer to them as miracles, get in the way of really having that close relationship with Jesus.
I love how you brought that out, that after Bartimaeus' miracle, he followed Jesus in the way. That's what it says. And it's so important. I know there are people, I'm thinking of those lepers. Weren't there like 10 lepers who Jesus healed, and one of them came back mm-hmm. to say thank you? Mm, yeah. It's almost like 90% of them just took off with the miracle and were gone.
Yep.
Never heard from again. That's good. And Bartimaeus followed Jesus after this. And I wonder, you said this so well over the weekend, that if I got some of the things I was praying for, would I just stop following Jesus? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Which is a hard, that was a kind of a gut punch for me. Yeah. It's like, if I really, you know, if I got whatever, you know, I think we all probably pray for different things, but I think mm-hmm. of some of the, like the, if I had a nicer house or a cooler car or whatever the things are, like if I just had those things all of a sudden, am I really going to go, oh, thank you, Jesus, let's be best friends.
Right.
And I go, no, I think really for me, it was Bart, he started in that place. I keep calling him Bart, but he started in that place. That's where his heart was already at, was mm-hmm. Rabboni. That mm-hmm. I'm already in that humble place.
Yeah.
I want to follow you.
Thought you did a great job talking about how the crowd around him tried to hush him.
Mm. Yeah.
When he's crying out to Jesus, they're like, hey, be quiet.
Yeah.
But the Bible says, you know, he cried even louder.
Yeah. I love that. Again, I think that speaks to his character, but also just like, how desperate he must have been in that moment. Like, Jesus, he's obviously heard about Jesus, so much so that he's calling him Messiah. He's desperate, like, this might be my only chance. And mm-hmm. he's like, I'm not letting all of that keep me from yelling louder. Worst case, what? I'll be sitting here blind.
Right.
Already doing that. So, like, let's just keep yelling.
Yeah.
And so the point there was, you know, don't let what other people are saying keep you from what Jesus wants to do.
Yeah.
And we really talked about.
So easy to do.
Yeah, for sure. But that inner voice, too, I think for me was, and maybe I shouldn't speak for everybody, but for me, I know that voice tends to be the voice that I hear more than anything. And I wish it was more encouraging sometimes.
Wow.
Well, you know, I'm more than likely, I mean, you know, Bart, as you put him, he was a human guy. So chances are he probably heard that same voice telling him, yeah, I probably shouldn't be speaking right now. Culturally mm-hmm. speaking, he shouldn't have been shouting out at Jesus. He shouldn't have been trying yeah. to talk. There was no, according to social standards of that day, he shouldn't have been having any kind of communication. And he knew that. So, I mean, I'm sure there was an inner voice there kind of talking to him, saying, agreeing with the voices that were around him, saying, yeah, this is not your place. This is not yeah. this is not how to go about this. This isn't the way that it should be done. Don't cry out to him. But yet there was something inside of him that said, no, this is my moment. This is a life-changing moment for me, or it can be.
Yeah.
I love how you mentioned that the scripture names him as well.
Yeah.
And his dad. It yeah. tells, son of Timaeus, I believe his name was Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. Well, that's Bartimaeus. That's what it means.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I love that too, though, because it's like, so Bar, I think, is the word that means son of, and then Timaeus uh-huh. means Timaeus. So it's uh-huh. almost like Timaeus Jr.
Yeah.
But then I love that in Scripture, at least I believe so, it also says son of Timaeus, because the Gospels weren't written for just Jewish people anymore. You know, like, right. hey, this is what we mean when we say that.
Right.
So it's almost like his name's in there twice just to make sure, hey, this is who we're talking about.
It's also good to think about the being a first century document there, the Gospel of Mark, that maybe he named them because maybe he named him because some of his readers would know the family.
Mm, yeah.
Maybe they could go back and talk to some of these people.
Yeah.
And maybe the people who were there questioning it. There's situations like that in mm-hmm. Scripture, you know, where they, like the sons of the guy who, I'm just jumping out into this, but the guy who carried the cross Jesus, it lists his sons' names. And I always think he put the names in there so people could go ask them about it.
Yeah.
You know, who were actually contemporaries. Yeah. Really cool. One of the things I love probably the most about your message is the thing you brought out so well. You did such a good job of communicating this weekend, but you did so well talking about when blind Bartimaeus came to Jesus, what that was like. Because he wasn't healed yet.
Yeah.
And yeah. you demonstrated yeah, that for sure. so well.
I almost broke out in song, but I didn't. I did good. No, I think it for me, again, and I said it in the message, but I tend to play out the movie version of something in my head.
Yeah.
And when you read that, it's just like he threw off his jacket, he jumped up, and he went to Jesus. And so it would be easy to just picture, yay, and he ran over to Jesus, but he's blind. And he had to step out blindly, you know, and reach out and follow the voice. And there were other people, hopefully, were helping him. He's hoping that's where you're taking me. And the concept there is just like, really, that is the type of faith I think Jesus wants from us is, and I think I said this in the message, it's not usually a great idea to just follow somebody blindly. But I think Jesus is a good exception to that rule of if you really do step out and follow him that way, with that faith, with that boldness, he shows up every time. And it might not look exactly like you think it's going to look, but he's still faithful. He's still there.
Read a bit as well about that cloak and what it signified to him, that the cloak very likely was a for blind people and beggars in the day, their cloak actually authenticated their need to beg. Mm. There was some sort of I'm searching for the right word, but the coat was almost a license to actually beg, that it authenticated their condition for the community. And he actually, the Bible does, it doesn't waste any words. It said he cast away his garment. Mm-hmm. That's something, I think he just cut all ties and said, that's it.
I'm done with this now.
Yeah. I'm not a blind beggar anymore, even before he actually saw. I love the statement about value as well with the water bottle.
Yeah.
I thought you did a fantastic job of that.
I love that point. I think that's one of those things that, again, we get so used to life and the miracles that we have and how blessed we are, and then we have that voice that tries to tell us what our value is, and sometimes, well, most of the time it's not at all what our value is. And you know, I know I drew some crazy ideas of being in the desert with no water around and there being a salesman with a bottle of water, but mm-hmm. The reality is you're going to pay for something based on what you need, right? And so the value of that water bottle was what somebody was willing to pay for it. And for me, it was just a great chance to come back to our value and really remind us our value is not based on anything we're doing, solely based on what he was willing to pay for us. which was a lot.
Oh, wow. If we could just find our value in that.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah.
Greg, any other questions?
That's really good.
Matthew, great word.
Thank you, sir.
It touched us, changed us. Thank you so much.